The next 2 weeks could determine whether President Obama's health care hopes will live or die, and it sounds like the president knows it.
Let's fight our way through the politics of the moment. Let's pass reform by the end of this year. Let's commit ourselves to delivering our country a better future.
Now, many Republicans hope to delay action until the fall, figuring that public opposition will grow to Obama's vision. And the health care battle has gone to the states. Many of the nation's governors from both parties attending the summer convention of the National Governors Association this weekend say they don't want Congress to force states to pick up extra health care expenses. Joining me this morning with the current status of the bill is our very own Todd Zwillick. Also on the line is the new chairman of the National Governors Association, Jim Douglas, the Republican governor of Vermont. I want to welcome you both, but let me start with Todd. Why, after sitting this out a little bit, has the president jumped in, and what can he do now?
Well, he's got that famous bully pulpit for eye, and Congress has been writing this bill all along, and Congress is 535 independent actors in a lot of ways. It's time to focus, and the president's role now, after giving Congress the power to shape this bill, they might have reached the high watermark about as far as they can go without agreeing. So he's got to try to focus them and, more importantly, focus the public, try to get them behind him. Yes, it's expensive, but if we don't make this investment, it's going to be more expensive in the long term. That's his message.
Now, there's a meeting with the Blue Dog Democrats, more conservative members of the House of Representatives. Tell me a little bit about that.
Well, the Blue Dogs have a long track record of protesting against deficit spending and really expensive programs, and this bill is a little bit of both. Now, the president is on their side. He says he won't sign any bill that increases the deficit, so they probably agree on that regard. But it is expensive, and don't forget, members of Congress, including those moderate to conservative Democrats, took some really, really tough votes on the stimulus, even on climate change. They don't think politically they can afford to vote for another trillion-dollar bill that may raise taxes on some people, now the rich, but some people, and then have it hang out there and the Senate might kill it. They've taken a really politically difficult vote. So that's their problem in the House. They've taken some really tough votes for the president already. Now he's coming back and saying, stick with me this one more time. And a lot of them are saying, we've reached our limit.
Healthcare has been a third rail in the past. Now, I want to listen to a bit of a question to Republican Party Chair Michael Steele and his response.
Does President Obama's health care plan represent socialism?
Yes. Next question.
Okay. How does the president counter the S word?
The S word, socialism. Well, he counters it this way. Look, a lot of the American public do support a broader government role in healthcare. If you ask them, should the federal government be more involved in financing healthcare, a lot of them say yes. In fact, it's well over 50%. It's probably a little bit north of 60%. So you can say S words, socialism, R word, rationing. Those are very politically strong words, and Michael Steele knows it. That's why he's using them. But the president has some poll numbers and a lot of arguments on his side. Look, the system we have right now, no one thinks it's working.
Okay, that's Todd Zwillick, our own at The Takeaway. And stay with us, Todd. I am going to bring in Vermont Governor Jim Douglas, Republican and an incoming chairman of the National Governors Association. Thanks for joining us.
Nice to be with you. Thank you.
What do you not like about this health care plan right now?
Well, governors of both parties support health care reform. In fact, it's an imperative because it's such a huge percentage now of the gross national product and of the budgets of all of the 50 states. And if we don't get health care costs under control, it's going to be an even bigger percentage and crowd out other public services. The problem that governors across the political spectrum have is that we can't sustain an unfunded mandate from Washington. If the Congress wants to reform health care, and we hope we can work with them to accomplish that, the cost can't be passed on to the states.
So you use the term unfunded mandates. You just came from an annual meeting of the National Governors Association in Biloxi, Mississippi. Overall, what did you find out from other governors? What's the temperature?
Well, I think governors want health care reform, but a key part of that has to be containing costs. There's been a lot of focus on whether it should be a public plan or a private plan, but to be perfectly honest, unless we get costs under control, we're going to be broke either way. So I think the focus has to be more on how we can contain cost, how we can deploy strategies like managing chronic disease, on wellness, on prevention, on keeping people healthy. That has to be the major focus of our reform efforts.
Hey, Governor, this is Todd Zwillick, and I want to ask, you know, I assume by unfunded mandate you're talking about Medicaid, correct?
That's right. There have been proposals, as you know, to expand it to a higher percentage of the poverty level.
Right, and to get more middle-income to lower-income people under the umbrella of health insurance who aren't covered now. And in the past, you know, every time – this is not the first time the states have had trouble with their Medicaid finances. Can't you extract a promise from the president and from the Congress that just like they have so many times in the past, if need be, they'll show up for you with some more Medicaid money so that you're made whole?
Well, the problem, as you indicated earlier, is that many members of Congress, and I think a lot of Americans, are concerned about the huge multi-trillion-dollar debt that the federal government is going to incur. So we have to find a way to understand the need for fiscal responsibility at the federal level while not passing a cost on to the states. I understand there may be some expense incurred in this effort, but for the long run, we have to bring down the cost of care. We spend nearly twice as much per capita on health care in America as the average industrialized nation, and yet the outcomes are no better. In fact, life expectancy in America is about 1 year less than it is in the average industrialized nation around the world. So we have to deliver care in a better way. We have to change how we maintain the health of the American people.
Are you a little more do you have a little more faith in what the Senate is doing in those terms, Governor? Wellness programs trying to do some more on bending the cost curve than maybe the House has accomplished so far?
Well, I met with Senator Baucus, the chairman of the Finance Committee, last week, and I was pleased to hear him talk about that. First of all, he's approaching it on a bipartisan basis, which is not the case in all the committees in Washington, and he understands the need for reforming the delivery system, changing the way providers are compensated, for example, and focusing more, as you suggest, on prevention, on wellness, on chronic illness. There are a couple of states I heard from my colleagues this week that are highlighting obesity. And frankly, if we can reduce the rate of obesity in America, there's going to be less chronic disease. And that's where 75% of the cost of health care is. So we've got to really focus on where those costs are and on bringing them down.
Well, Governor, again, we are speaking with Vermont Governor Jim Douglas, incoming chair of the National Governors Association. Governor, when you think about your specific state situation, there's one of your neighbors in New England, Massachusetts, that actually is wrangling over removing legal immigrants from its rolls of health care. Are you going to have to make some drastic cuts? How are you doing?
No, we're doing quite well. In fact, I think the model that we put in place, we call the Vermont Blueprint for Health, is a model that other states might consider. In fact, I had the director of health care reform from Vermont speak at the conference this past weekend. We have a pretty low rate of uninsured in Vermont. We have a blended program of public subsidies for individuals who make up to 300% of the poverty level. We have some subsidies for people to get insurance through their employers. But what we also have is a waiver from the federal government to deploy Medicaid dollars in a new and, I think, exciting way. Usually Medicaid is not a health care plan. I call it a sick care plan because it pays for service providers render. But we have permission from the federal government to use it for preventive care, for intervening with people to manage their chronic illness. And we've seen a reduction in the number of trips to the emergency room and the doctor's office among our Medicaid population. So what we need is more flexibility. We need to allow states to be the proverbial laboratories of democracy. And I think a lot of states can really do some exciting things.
All right. Very quick question for you, Todd. There's been talk of this deadline in Congress of getting something going before the August recess. Is that realistic?
Well, it might not be, but, you know, deadlines in Congress are important. Again, we talked about focus. They have a way of focusing people, and if people aren't focused, they, especially lawmakers, they can scatter to the four winds with their own agendas. But let's not get too caught up in this August 7th thing. It's true the president said he wanted it, and if he doesn't get it, it will be some measure of his ability to whip the Congress into shape. But the Senate especially, never operates this way. They never have in history. If they don't get it done by August 7th, there will be plenty of time in September. It could be politically a little little more difficult because of the criticism that the president will get. But if August 7th doesn't happen, health reform is not dead. I wouldn't be too worried about it if I were the president. The Senate operates on its own schedule.
All right. Well, I want to thank both of you. We've been speaking with The Takeaway's own Todd Zwillick from Washington, D.C., and also with Vermont Governor Jim Douglas, a Republican and the incoming chairman of the National Governors Association. Thank you both so much.
Pleasure.
Thank you.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.